First, a quick little story. You can, this one comes out of the ironic file. There was a building that caught fire, and this building was loaded with tons and tons of ice. And there was all this ice in there. The fire department, after the building burned to the ground, said it's ironic because there was all this fire extinguisher in there with all this ice, but it was in the wrong form. It was useless as ice to be able to put out the fire. And so, in a sense, this building, it was loaded with frozen assets. They were perfect, could be used, but they couldn't be done. And God has blessed us with many different kinds of assets, whether it's talents to help sing, talents to pray, spiritual gifts of all varying kinds, being able to give and offering, all of these things that we have that are available to us to make a difference. So don't sit on your assets. Use them. Use them to be a blessing to God, because God has given you them for a purpose. As we've been listening to the scriptures, as we've been talking this morning, we're looking at, as the last song talked about, those possibilities that the blessings God is offering to us have to come through the suffering. And that wasn't always the case. In the Old Testament, we read many stories. It seems that the theology of God in the Old Testament was, if you're good, God blesses you. If you're bad, God punishes you. And this is still prevalent today, I think, in a lot of people's minds. We think that, you know, we can somehow earn God's favor by doing good things and being a blessing. And that gets us all mixed up about God. Because though we might look at the Old Testament as even the people before Jesus was walking the earth, we might see like Abraham with all his wealth, thinking, well, that was because God blessed him because he was righteous. Or we might look at David or at King Solomon and see the blessings they had and think it was all theirs because God had blessed them because they were good. They did the right thing. The truth of the matter is, that's not what happened. And eventually, there was a story written to try to answer that question, or at least put people into the thought. The story of Job is a story that takes on those different theologies about God being like a Santa Claus who gives you, you know, rewards you for your goodness and punishes you for your badness. And so the story of Job has his three friends coming to him after he suffers all this loss and throwing theology at him. Confess your sins and then God will put back what he took from you. And all of this stuff ends up being not an answer, because Job did nothing to warrant anything that happened to him, and in the end, when God restored it to him, he did nothing to get it all back. It was kind of at the whim of God, and we don't understand sometimes why this happens. But people were still living under that way, and the church eventually, you know, when the church was formed and after, you know, a couple hundred years, used that theology, kind of came back into play, and people were controlled by it. But Jesus, when he walked this earth, he came and talked to the people about the real potential of God and the real understanding of God that went in the face of everything they were believing. Because they believed, as they were taught by the religious leaders, that if the reason they were suffering was because they were not in favor with God. They were out of God's favor for whatever reason. They didn't know sometimes what they did, but they figured, I must have done something horrible because God has punished me, putting me into such a place of poverty and losing loved ones and my life being shortened, you know. All these things that the Old Testament had kind of, at least they thought had taught them, was that God blesses you with long life and wealth and all this prosperity and everything you could want. They didn't have it. The reality was that even in the Old Testament, most people didn't have it. Most people lived in that, where the 90% of the population lived in poverty. It wasn't kind of like we have a middle class. They didn't have a middle class. It was either the top or the bottom. It wasn't an in-between. And 90% of the people were at the bottom. struggling day to day to survive, losing loved ones to famine, illness, and disease. And Jesus comes and walks among them, and he turns upside down this theology of God blesses you for being good and punishes you for being bad. He preaches one day in the early part of his ministry. He goes up on a mountainside along the rocks, and he sits down. There's all these people gathered there, and he begins to teach them. And in part of his teaching, he says to them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That was a complete flip of what they had believed. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, for they will inherit the earth." So you don't think of it that way. We think those who get the earth are the ones who fight for it. Tough. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What Jesus is doing is he's flipping upside down everything that the people had understood about God. Instead of the rich and the wealthy being the ones who are blessed, he says, "Blessed are you who are poor." Even if you're poor in spirit, because they usually went hand in hand. If you're poor, you felt you were poor in spirit too, because God has rejected you. Jesus says, "Yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's for you." Keeps turning over all the ideas of what people believed about God. He's giving a new theology to God that many people hadn't quite grasped yet. They were still holding on to. And it's still preached today. People use the God of the Old Testament, the God of blessing, the God that they thought they understood, the theology of a God who blesses you for goodness and punishes you for badness. And they said, "Let's use that." It controls people, and people use it today. I dare say some of the churches that I see that are the biggest churches in our country are the ones that really focus on that with people so that they try their darndest to be good and earn God's blessing, not realizing that that's not why God blesses you. King David had all those blessings, but he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. I mean, he committed some of the most horrible crimes we could imagine. And yet God blessed him because it wasn't for David. The blessings David received were for his people, for what he was supposed to do. Sometimes those blessings come through very terrible circumstances. Yes, David suffered some loss after it all came to light for him. And some of that was his own doing. But he also experienced a forgiveness and a mercy, as Jesus taught. Blessed are those who show mercy, they'll receive it. He realized his sins and he showed mercy. Mercy to the families of others, and found mercy from God in that. Not that God wasn't trying to be merciful already. Sometimes you can't see something until you start living it in your own life. Then you see how God is living that way with you, that that's how God is treating you. See, because reality for us today too is we're here in church. You're all giving your best to try to live as good and decent people, following what God puts upon your heart. You're out there not intentionally hurting anyone or doing anything to really cause harm, but you're doing your best. And yet, if I asked you the question and we said, and I asked you to raise your hand, if you're struggling in some area of your life, if you're going through a difficult time in anything in your life, you could probably all raise your hand. And is that because God is punishing you for some sin that you haven't recognized yet? Or is it just that life itself is sometimes unfair? That life is not just, that people are not always the way they should be. And I think we could probably agree on that. Life isn't fair. God didn't promise it would be. And throughout the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, we see that things happen that sometimes are unfair. Somebody suffers for 12 long years of a hemorrhaging situation until Jesus comes along and heals her. And we see the healing. She suffered 12 long years before that happened. The blind man at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus healed was there for 38 years. Not blind, lame, I'm sorry. The lame man. He couldn't walk for 38 years. He was at that pool every day hoping for a healing. 38 years. How many of you are not even 38 yet? You don't have to read it. Yeah, you are. A couple of them raise their hand. It seems like a long time to you guys, 38 years. And it's a long time to me, too, even at 55, I think. 38 years, that's two-thirds of my life, I think. I don't do math. Maybe it's more than that. I know you're under 38. You're how old? 5, 6, 7, 8? 5. Huh. The bride of Jesus is here today. She's 5 years old. Don't be embarrassed. Mom's embarrassed. Okay, so, she's beautiful. Struggles, so the rough times in life, if we look at them as obstacles, as if somehow they're like a roadblock saying, you're done, stop, you can't go any further. But maybe that's not the case. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but I'll share it with you for the few that may never have heard it. It was about this man who shares the story of what happened to him. He'd been sick and he was stuck in bed and he couldn't get out of bed for a while. And he noticed outside his window a chrysalis was formed on a branch right outside the window. And a chrysalis, for anybody saying, what is that? I wouldn't have known the first time I heard it either, is a cocoon. And in that cocoon, a butterfly was forming. And it was one of the few pleasures he had. Was waiting for this butterfly to come, but he was impatient. He didn't want to lay in bed, he hated being sick, but now he's like something to look forward to, but it's taking too long. Finally, he saw one day this crack started, and he watched as this butterfly began to break its way out of its cocoon. And he was excited. What kind of butterfly is it? What does it look like? And he saw how it struggled and struggled, and he thought, maybe I'll help it a little bit. Just give it a little hand. So he took a pair of scissors and he opened the window and he reached out and he just kind of snipped the crack open a little bit more so that the butterfly didn't have to struggle anymore. And it pushed open and fell out, dropped to the ground, and he was all excited. He saw it, and there was this beautiful butterfly, and it walked. And it didn't learn to fly. And it never did. Because it was through the struggle of breaking free of that cocoon that it built the strength up in its wings to fly. He had interrupted that, hindered the strength from happening. And so he doomed that butterfly to forever walk. And in our lives, some of the struggles we go through, some of the trials that we face, these roadblocks that come up at us, are not meant to stop us, not meant to destroy us or break us down. They're meant to strengthen us so that we can soar. So that we can grow the wings that God is building for us. That we can fly and do the things God wants us to do. Not literally, kids. It's figurative speech. But God has planned for us. God has created us for great things. And we can do great things if we recognize that the struggle, the suffering we go through, is truly a blessing in disguise. That in the midst of it, it's not that God causes the suffering. It's not that God says, I'm going to inflict this on this person. It's that he knows that in life we will face these things. But he's also looking down the road in our life and saying, they got to face some tougher things as life goes on. They'll be ready for it because they're going through this now. You'll be ready for it. Question? No? Okay. So, if you're facing a struggle, Randy Pausch, anybody remember who Randy Pausch is? A couple of hands, a couple of nods of the head. Randy Pausch was the professor dying of cancer, gave the last lecture, and a book was written about it, and the movie or whatever was made for that. Randy Pausch talked about brick walls at one point to his students as part of his last lecture. The brick walls that come up in front of us in life, many people turn away when they see a brick wall. It's like, well, that's it. Turn around, give up, quit, can't go any further. But he said, you know, I've learned in my life that the brick walls aren't meant to stop us. They're meant to make us work hard for what we're going for. Because if what we want, what we need to get to is that important to us, we'll work for it. It's only meant to stop others who don't really want us. You want to be a child of God and be a blessing to others. Don't look at those brick walls, those obstacles in your life, as there to stop you. They're meant to help you get stronger. Because as David discovered all the blessings he had from God, as King Solomon discovered the same thing, they weren't for them. They weren't for them to just enjoy for themselves. They were meant for them to share with others, to be a blessing to others. When you go through a tough time, you're not going through that tough time just for you. You're going through that tough time because there are going to be some other people that will be part of your journey that will go through it as well. They'll be watching you. They'll be watching you to see, how do you handle it? And if they see you handling it with courage, it'll encourage them. Just as you've watched others. So, see the roadblock. But don't let it stop you. Find a way over it, under it, around it, through it, however you can. And keep going. For every adversity, every obstacle, everything you face, there's a seed of something greater. A seed of something more important. A seed of new life. Amen?